Blog Talk Radio.
Happiness. Happiness, the good news is happiness is a practiced skill, just like every skill, from being an athlete to a musician, an artist, a speaker, a chef, a painter, a car or automobile mechanic. Happiness is a practiced skill, and if I can practice it for the last 45 years, did she say 45 years? Yes, she did. For 45 years, guess what? So can you. When I talk about, before I go on, let me give you my definition of happiness. My definition is the ability to vibrate an energy of peace, of the ability to vibrate in a personal energy of contentment, regardless of what happens. So I am not subject to what the world is doing. I am not subject to the external experiences. I'm not subject to any of that. It is an internal vibration of contentment. Happiness is the ability to vibrate the energy of contentment regardless of what happens. Ooh-wee. Some people don't like the word happy. Some people prefer the word joy. And you know what? There was a time, actually it was last week, that I said, I don't like that word joy. I never use the word joy, but guess what? Guess what the universe does when I make bold statements, when I make a statement as to, I don't like that word joy. Well, all words, it's the energy behind it. It's the energy behind the word. And that word joy, that word happiness, that word contentment, all are the same vibrations. If you're asking me, it's the same vibration, that vibration of a relaxed state, constantly being in a relaxed state, constantly navigating, going through this life, journeying through this life with shoulders down, unwielding, is that a word? It is unstoppable energy of when I said contentment, it's just surrendering in all the moments of knowing without doubt, trusting without doubt that everything that is happening, whether my ego wants to say, oh, it's happening to me, everything that happens is there to serve me in some way. And if it's serving me, it's serving you. So when I say happiness, this ability to experience this journey we call life in a calm, relaxed, content stage, the external has nothing to do with my vibration, ever. And again, this is a practice skill. When I say happiness, it is a practice. Contentment is a practice. Inner peace is a practice. And guess what? You came to the right place. I am here to share with you what to practice. But before I go on, let me just do a quick housekeeping. If you want to speak with me live, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619, and press the number 1. Happiness is a state of mind. It is a state in mind. It becomes your vibration. It becomes your set point, your vibrational set point. And then when the practice is, scratch that, let me just share. My practice is 24/7. I don't get any breaks. I don't get time off. I don't get vacations. It is a 24/7 on duty position, which requires awareness, self-awareness, consciousness without any breaks. You know, it's funny. Having this burden of being the global happiness specialist, it comes with it a lot of occupational hazards, which is I'm always forced to look in the mirror. It's never about them. It's never about what's going on in the world. It's never about another person. It's about what's happening with that. Identity, that human identity, Rebecca L. Norrington. And I'm here to share that after 45 years, did she say 45 years? Yes, she did. After 45 years of this practice, of the searching, of the seeking, of wanting, desiring to feel this energy, to feel happier, it brought me to the research that the only reason why people are suffering or are not as happy as they could be, it's because of the programming. And I'm up to 55 program behaviors. In fact, the book is coming out. I know I've been saying it down to the last edits, but I promise you this is the last time I'm reading through this book. I'm so tired. Program for Unhappiness, Exposing the Untold Truth. It's about the programming that keeps people from experiencing this thing called happiness. And let me be very clear. It is an energy. It is a vibration that I'm speaking about. I'm not talking about, oh, gosh, I won the lottery. Let's ask Will Smith. Before the slap heard around the world, he was interviewed in GQ magazine. It was November 2021. You can look it up. He said, I have everything. I have money, fame, connections, power. At the time, he said loving family. But he also said in that article, but I wasn't happy. And so that's what I'm talking about. This happiness, as far as I'm concerned, is numero uno. But as soon as you're born, you're given a name, a nationality, a religion, a race, and a culture, and then you spend the rest of your life identifying and defending that program. Who are you? You're more than your thoughts. You're not your thoughts. You're not your stories. You're not your body. You're more than that. And today the topic is, it's a topic that is difficult to digest, but that's why I'm going to have a little bit of help here. You can Google, her name is Barbara Berger, B-E-R-G-E-R. You can Google, it's called The Mental Laws. And there are, I think there are 10 or 11 mental laws. And she lists, she talks about in depth, it's about 45 pages. It's easy to download. 45 pages of how the mind works. It's a breakdown of not only how thoughts just come and go. They arise and they disappear and they arise and they disappear. But how, and I don't know about you, but I've never been able to control my thoughts or to only think positive thoughts. And there is a reason for that. And the reason for that is, I'm going to share it in just a minute. How's that for a tease? But before I go on, especially I'm getting new followers and new listeners all the time, let me just give you a little bit more of an introduction. Question. On a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness in your life? What's your definition of happiness? Who or what is subtracting from your happiness today? And how happy are you when you're faced with life's inevitable challenges? Answer yes or no, my dear audience. Can other people hurt your feelings? Can other people offend you? Can other people disappoint you? Do you blame other people for how you're feeling? Do you blame your circumstances for how you feel? Let me just get to question number 3. Can other people disappoint you? Here's the answer. You want the answer to that test? The practice is to eliminate this program behavior of having expectations. Let go of all expectations of self and of others, and you will never be disappointed or have your heart broken again. Get rid of expectations. Is it an easy practice? Hell no. In fact, don't tell anybody, but I've been known to have some expectations. Oh, but they're in the closet, in the corner, in the dark, and sometimes they pop out. But as soon as I have an expectation, it's just like finding the pee under the mattress. I can feel it. If I have an expectation, then sooner or later, usually sooner, I'm going to be disappointed. Another practice of one of the 55 program behaviors, how about this one? Not taking anything personally. If I was taught not to take anything personally, scratch that. If we all were taught not to take anything personally, can you imagine the state of this world? Can you imagine the calm and the peace just with those two things, not having expectations and not taking anything personally? Oh, I'm salivating just thinking about it. Hold on a second. Where's my water? Oh, here it is. Here it is. Okay. There's a very famous study that was, I don't even remember, was it 10, 15 years ago? It's called The 5 Most Common Regrets of the Dying. Oh, I was going to say, if you want to speak with me live, the number to call in here is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646. Oops. Area code 646. Let me push delete that. 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And if you're on Wisdom, you can always ask to join the conversation. The 5 most common regrets of the dying. It was a study done by hospice nurse Bronnie Ware. You can Google that. And anything that I share that is with you can fact check it. Google it. 5 most common regrets of the dying. The first regret, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. Number 2, let me read that one again. I wish I pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. Question. Whatever want, desire, goal, intention, is it yours? Is it a program? Is your soul captured? Are you so inspired that you cannot move toward that intention? For me, I've been a teacher all my life, whether it's been exercise teacher, aerobic teacher, a teacher all my life. And so regardless of what it is, and I'm putting a label teacher. Number 2, I wish I didn't work so hard. How many of you out there are workaholics? Shout out to the workaholics. And I already know that if you're feeling that, or you are a workaholic, no judgment here, but know that that was one of the most common regrets of the dying. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. Number four, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. Well, it's interesting. I always say that sometimes, no disrespect to you people that were on the way out, but that's a horrible joke. How insensitive, politically incorrect. It's just that sometimes we outgrow our friends. We outgrow people. And if somebody's in your life in this moment, they're supposed to be. And if they're not, they're not supposed to be. Simple. Compatible energy is real. Sometimes the energy is just not compatible. I don't care if they're grandfathered in or not. And the fifth most common regret of the dying is, I wish I would have let myself be happier. And that's where I come in, meaning that when I was younger, and you remember blowing the candles out in your birthday cake, making a wish, I always wished for the same two things. I wanted to live to my potential, and I had no idea what that looked like, what that would evolve into, but I just said, I want to live to my potential. And the second thing I always wished for is I wanted to be happy. And so this journey of searching and looking and discovering where it was happiness, and what I found is the same as most, 98% of the population, getting married or having titles or having a certain amount in my bank account or traveling, any kind of external activity has nothing to do with the internal peace that I'm talking about, this contentment, this unwavering, this unmoving, this rooted contentment. How do I maintain that? How do I sustain that? Is it even possible? The answer is yes, with practice. Let me get to today's topic. But let me share that the struggle is always internal. The suffering comes from thinking. All suffering comes from thinking that something needs to be different, whether it's in your personal life or whether it's in the world. Something needs to be different than what is actually happening. The truth is that this vibration of satisfaction, and this is rampant, the world sells dissatisfaction. You want to know what pisses me off? The world selling people dissatisfaction. Oh, there could be more, better. You're not good now. Get better. Oh, this constant search for being better. I'm here to tell you, you are number one, doing the best that you can in the moment, and number two, it's not about getting better, being better, success, more success. That is not where peace, contentment is found, in the external. If you're dissatisfied in today's moment, if you're dissatisfied in this moment, in your present moment, you are dragging that dissatisfaction into your future moments as well. The ego is never satisfied, never. And that is what we're going to talk about with today's topic. This program ego that you, what people call it, you can call it the ego, you can call it lower consciousness, you can call it the mind, whatever you want to call it. There are two voices. I have that ego voice that tells me something needs to change, something needs to shift. And then there's that other voice or that other entity that knows that everything is perfect. Now, my ego does not like living there, does not like staying there, does not enjoy me telling it, you know what, this moment it may feel unwanted, I'm using air quotes, unwanted, but I know that everything that is unfolding, everything that is manifesting, everything that is happening is there to serve me. And not only that, let me take it to another level, which is today's topic, witnessing versus identifying. this is a quick exercise of, hold on a second, this is a quick exercise of the thoughts coming and going, thoughts arising. So look at a, sit down and look, and sit down, stand up, doesn't matter, and face a white wall or just a plain wall. And if possible, a wall that has nothing on it, just a blank wall. Stare at the wall is what I'm saying. Stare at a wall, any wall. And sit there and make a decision or tell yourself, I do not want to think. Stop thinking. Decide not to think. Try to make your mind blank. Try to make your mind blank. Try to do this for 2 minutes. Just sit there and look at the white wall and do not think. Can you do that? Can you just stare at a wall for 2 minutes and not think? And I remember one of my students said, well, yeah, I could do that for 2 minutes, but don't ask me to do it for 10 minutes. Don't ask me to do it for 20 minutes. And listen, some people might have the skill to be able to stare at a wall for 20 minutes or 2 minutes and not have a thought. I can't do it. So if you can do it, bravo, standing ovation. But for the majority, well, scratch that. For a lot of people, because I don't know if it's the majority, but for a lot of people, sitting and staring at a blank wall for 2 minutes, thoughts are going to come. Thoughts are just going to arise on their own. That's what happens. Thoughts just come up. And you can't make this not happen. You can't make your mind go blank, not for very long. Some of you can. Thank you. You're the exception. But for a lot, I can't just stop. I'm 68 years old. I stare at a blank wall. Thoughts are going to come and go. Now, one of the things that one of the things that this exercise provides is being aware that thoughts just come and go. And I'm talking about the variety, all of the colors, not only in the rainbow, but all of the colors in the universe, a variety of thoughts for no reason. My thoughts can go from shopping to a person to gardening in seconds. And that's why the law, this is one of the laws that Barbara Berger says, it's called the law of thoughts arising. Thoughts arise and thoughts disappear. They come and go on their own. It happens to everybody. It's not an impersonal phenomenon. And it's something that you can do and confirm for yourself. And if you watch very carefully, what happened? Uh-oh, what happened? Why did I? Okay, here we go. Okay. Oh, I got out of the studio. All right. Oh, I see you. Hold on a second. Let me just get through this really quick. I have a caller again. If you want to speak with me live, it's area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619, and press the number 1. I'll get to you in the queue in just a second. Let me just get through this. And when I'm talking about thoughts just come and go on their own, you can sit very quietly and you can witness these thoughts arising. Now, here's the kicker. Here's the exercise. There is a difference between you and your thoughts. There is a difference between the person that is having the thoughts and the thoughts themselves. This is another impersonal phenomenon. So let's go back to the white wall. Can you practice staring at that white wall and stepping outside of your body, stepping outside of yourself, and just witness that person or witness that person that is staring at the wall? And in fact, one of my favorite movies now, oh my goodness, I just saw this probably within a year, less than a year, maybe a few months ago, for the first time. I don't go to movies anymore, not usually. So I saw this 2016 movie, and if you've listened to me, Ooh, I love this movie. It's called Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is the Marvel movie, 2016. It was out in 2016. And I just watched it again last night. One of the things when he meets, when Doctor Strange meets, it's called, what is it, the Ancient One? The Ancient One, which is his teacher. And he's very human. And so she pushes her hand on his chest with so much force that she knocks him out of his human body. And she what did she call it, temporal body? She knocks him out of his human body, and he goes to a different place where he's witnessing himself. And that's what I want to, that's what is the topic of today's show, is the ability to witness this journey as opposed to identify and being in it. It's what is it? Being in the world but not of the world. And the practice, and it is a practice, the practice of witnessing, stepping back and witnessing whatever identity, whatever name you're giving yourself, witnessing takes you to another level of peace and contentment. When I'm able to bypass, and it is a bypass, when I'm able to bypass what the ego wants me to focus on, what the ego says is important, and just witness the struggles and the challenges and all of the things that my ego finds what's wrong, 6 years of a legal battle, that's wrong. What else? Health issues, neck problems, hip issues, that's wrong. All of what my ego finds unwanted, when I'm able to practice stepping out of that, it is a totally different world. Instantly. And let me give you an example, a quick example, and then I'm going to go to the queue. My best friend was telling me he's working on an assignment, and the assignment is in Catalina, in California. So he's security, so he takes a boat ride from Catalina, from the shore to Catalina. And he was telling me that every time he's taking this boat ride, he's in this program mode of work. I'm working. And this morning he said, it was the first time that I was able to step back and witness the beauty of the boat ride, looking at the ocean, looking at the trees, looking at the island. In other words, stepping out of this humanness, because this human place is not going to find a lot of things to be satisfied with. Is going to look for, especially because the ego is driving, is looking for what is is not looking for the wonderment. How about that? Is not focused on the wonderment of what we call life. The wonderment of staring at even the sunrise. I mean, I'm able to see a sunrise and a sunset every single day. And when I was in Roseburg, Oregon, I mean, I would have to drive to see a sunset because I was in the middle of the forest surrounded by trees. So I couldn't see a sunset unless I drove out of the forest. But here I'm able to see a sunrise and a sunset. And another sunrise. Oh, another sunset. But that practice of remaining in that place where I witness and that place of wonderment, practice staying in that state of wonderment. I don't know about you, but I'm not in a state of wonderment unless I'm consciously okay, let's practice staying more in the place of wonderment. Let me go to my caller. Hold on a second. Let me go right here, press this button, press that button. Hold on, hold on. Hello, so technical. One of these days I'm going to have a producer and a real studio, but it's not today. Welcome to Reality Spirituality, area code 408. What's your first name?
Craig.
Craig. Welcome, Craig. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question or a comment? What's up?
Well, I was just listening to you, and I had a whole bunch of things going through my mind. You know, so I was trying to keep up with everything without, you know, losing sight of what you're saying. So, yeah, I'll just try to go with whatever I can remember about what the first recollection and what I can remember about. But you were talking about a position, and I remember in 1999 when I saw myself on the inside for the first time, which I've never seen myself on the inside ever. I just never, ever seen myself. I had a false sense of self at one time, but then when I seen myself, I was in shock, you know. It was a good thing, but there was this other thing going on while the good thing was going on. And I was noticing when I was looking at myself, I was like, no, I'm looking at myself, you know, ex-con and everything. Been to Pelican Bay. I've been up there before. That's a nice area up there. You know, I've been around the block a few times, you know. So I was looking at myself, and I'm like, no, maybe an Ivy League college student or somebody on Wall Street. But I'm looking at myself, and I was like, no. See, but I never seen myself this new way before, you know, where it's like going from a place where there's all this going on and then stepping into a place where everything stands still. And then you get this crystal clear picture of what happens when the darkest negative becomes this brighter picture of love. So I can see things that I can practice that make this a visible witness of something invisible, which is visible to me. And that's this kingdom that's been given. I'm aware of it now as it is. And so as I walk in this love, I make mistakes. I have to admit, you know, I'm just like, I make mistakes that are inevitable.
Well, hold on a second. I'm going to stop you, my dear friend. There's no such thing as a mistake in the universe. This is my perspective. That's all a program. There are no mistakes in nature. Are there mistakes in nature? And one of the things I wanted to say is you were comparing, listen, all open arms here. You were comparing yourself with Wall Street or something else. There's no comparison. We're all from the same. We're all the same, but the program is to compare and to judge and make a judgment that someone or some
I,
that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't worry about none of that. You know what I'm saying? I'm a life coach for one. You know, and I have that. I'm a spiritual advisor. I have credentials to back up everything that I say. I have credentials to back it up. So, and I've been around people that try to be controlling or manipulating. And then if I have any feelings about that kind of thing they're doing, I don't care who they are, they try to exploit my feelings. And I go, I don't play that game because I don't play games. I tell them I don't play games. And they think, yeah, well, you know what? I listen to what people say. And then later on, I tell them, you know, remember when I told you, I go, oh, you're talking to me, right? And he goes, yeah. I go, okay, well, I'm listening. I listen. Just want to make sure people understand that. But people don't follow anything. They just get off on their own trip. And I'm just here to tell people, you know, your insecurity is very attractive to me. So you got my number.
Huh?
Okay, goodbye.
Okay. Well, what the hell? Let me get back to this. One of the things, you got my number. One of the things is, you said something about making mistakes. There are no mistakes in the universe. There are no mistakes. And it's interesting. I don't know. I didn't feel any, how do I say, usually this is what happens with me. The universe has gifted me with this ability to feel the truth. And I'm not talking about your truth and my truth. I'm talking about universal truth. I'm talking about gravity. If you jump off a building, you're gonna fall. I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel any vibration. I didn't feel any vibration. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? No, it's nothing. I just didn't feel anything. But I also didn't feel any lightness. I didn't feel it. So one of the things that I would say is either the energy is compatible or it's not. Period. Either energy is compatible or it's not. And it's funny because I had another, now I'm really getting off on a tangent, but I had another person connect with me, and it was a gentleman, it was a guy, and he connected with me, and he asked me, you know, because I usually don't even go on my chats or questions or DMs, I just don't, there's too many, and he said, you know, I'm new on this app, can you help me, and I know this is going off track just for a second. He says, but can you help me navigate through this? Can you help me navigate this app? And I'm thinking, we're strangers. You're asking me to help you navigate through an app. What I did was I responded back, I'm not tech savvy. You can Google anything if you want help. And then I'm thinking, why don't you ask a man that? Leave me alone. Was I just being hit on? Ah! Which, quite frankly, thank you, I appreciate it, but I'm not interested. This is not what this show is about. And the other thing, wow, that was interesting. And the other thing is, I'm talking about witnessing versus identifying. I'm talking about sharing. As I'm gulping down water. Hold on a second, audience. Hold on. I'm talking about identifying with your thoughts and your stories. And that is not who you are. Okay, let me just back up just a little bit. One of the things that I share is when I do, because I'm just like you, I've just been practicing for 45 years, but when I do get to a place, when I am in a place where I'm feeling challenged or I'm feeling, which is really resistance, that's what it is. If I'm saying, oh, I'm challenged, it's all it is I'm resisting the present moment. I'm resisting what the universe is unfolding. I'm resisting it. My ego is resisting it. And so the practice is to step back and notice and be aware, I'm resisting. And there is it's just like practicing staying in the present moment. Staying in the present moment is another practice. But often, that's not where my ego wants to go. That's not where my ego wants to live. My ego doesn't want to live in the present moment. My ego doesn't exist can't exist in the present moment. Can't exist in the present moment. Now, my ego exists, is alive and well and thriving in the future or in the past. And it is my responsibility to be aware, to practice the awareness of where is my focus? Where what are my perspectives? And this hostile takeover, my ego loves a hostile takeover. It is a takeover. It is a remember that I said this last week. Remember that movie Alien? It is a takeover of my body, my mind. And I can feel the difference. I can feel where I'm drifting into thoughts, drifting into another place that isn't the present moment. And how do I practice staying and living in the present moment? Number one, witnessing. When I'm actively witnessing, I am in the present moment. When I'm actively practicing living, staying, monitoring, express the monitoring, noticing the thoughts. Oh, look at those negative thoughts coming and going. Oh, look, coming and going. That guy said he was a life coach. Okay, never mind. Did I say that out loud? Jesus. Practicing witnessing keeps me in the present moment, and there's nothing my ego dislikes is to be in the present. I want to share this really quickly. Google this. He channels. What is his? I think his name is Anka, David Anka. But anyway, he channels. You can just Google the name Bashar, Bashar. I love his videos. The last one that I saw a couple of days ago, he starts it off with this. Put your seatbelts on. All of this, this life is meaningless until the ego puts a meaning to it. We are here. It is this human experience is over in a blink of an eye. And my practice, especially since he said it's meaningless, I mean, I've already got that before and judgments, but the way he said it, it was just another reinforced truth that this human life is here and gone. And what am I giving my focus to? What am I giving the what meaning am I attaching to any of these stories? What meaning am I attaching to the thoughts? And that's my new mantra. This life is meaningless. This life is meaningless. This life is meaningless. But my ego doesn't sit well with the ego, that it's meaningless, because the ego needs to have, number one, it needs to live, it needs to survive, it needs a meaning, it needs a purpose, it needs a reason. Well, at 68, I'm surrendering to that too, meaningless. And I'm here to share all this meaningless information. It's meaningless information. Program behaviors that subtract from happiness. There are three levels. Let me get to the third level, because usually people that are listening at this stage, third level. Uh-oh, here we go. Giving power to words. Words innately don't have power. I know. This is what I hear. Well, did you hear about that water experiment with the crystals? And the crystals change. They change shape and form because of the word they use. No, they change because of the energy behind it. Thinking anything is serious. Thinking anything is important. All of these program behaviors subtract from your contentment, subtract from your happiness, subtract from that vibration of inner peace or peace. Thinking anything is serious, including this life. Thinking anything is important. Isn't life important, Rebecca? Isn't life serious? Having preferences, this is a big one. Having preferences, even having a preference to an emotion or a feeling. I prefer to feel like this. I prefer to feel the energy of contentment. Oh, I prefer. I'm here to tell you, even though that energy and that whether I'm in physical pain, I rather feel loose. I rather feel more limber. I rather feel I'm good with whatever I'm feeling, universe. Thanks for nothing, but I'm good with whatever I'm feeling. And it's a practice. Don't think I have it mastered. Resisting the present moment. You can feel when you're resisting, and it's not you that's resisting. Witness that entity that's resisting. Believing the endless thoughts and stories that ruminate inside your head. When I say stare at a wall, witness. That person, step outside. And again, if this isn't resonating with you, that's okay too. I'm just sharing what I've been practicing lately. Assigning a label to anything. This life is an experience. We are here to experience and witness this journey as opposed to judge it, good or bad. Life coach reacting rather than responding. There's a difference between reacting to life and responding. When you're conscious, you are responding. When you're reacting, you are a robot. Did I just call my audience a robot? I sure did. No offense. Believing that life is unjust and unfair. I get so many emails that just don't agree. Let me share an email that I just got. And let me share an email. Perfect. Hold on. This is very, very typical. Here we go. Because we're more alike than we are different. Okay. This person talks about being raised with the programming of feeling obligated and guilt. How many of you out there feel guilty and obligated? Though this is a program. Let's see. Okay, here we go. This is the question. I'm wanting to hear your ideas. Hold on a second. Let me get to this. This is people. Okay, this question is about, what about other people who, for whatever reason, intentionally act in ways that will impact us in a detrimental manner. In other words, people that can take financially, legally. I've been scammed more than once. Plus, if you've listened to me, you already know that when my mother died in 2018, she gifted the family house to her handyman. So it's 6 years later. And I'm still battling the attorney that drafted the Fourth Amendment, I believe, illegally. It's still an ongoing battle. But the difference is I don't have any kind of hate, disgust, dislike for this attorney. I'm definitely going after him, but the energy of disdain and hate or how unfair or I was victimized, none of that, absolutely none of it. Now, of course, I evolved to that because when it first happened, hell yeah, I was blaming the attorney. Ah, you die in hell, burn in hell, you mother. But no, the evolution, my evolution is to the point where that attorney didn't do anything that the universe didn't sign off on. And to take it even a step further, is that attorney isn't doing anything that I didn't already agree to before I got here. I agreed to experience all of it. So the question comes, what do people do when they believe they are being victimized by someone? Someone has it in for them. Someone that is, now boy, am I jumping from topic to topic. Now we're on the witnessing versus identifying. Now we're talking about people that have it, that are really scammers. That's a nice way of saying it. The program of fear and being afraid of what could happen to you or what may happen to you is, number one, another program. Number two is a lack of practicing trust that whatever, I don't care if you've been scammed for I don't know how much money, scratch that, I'm just talking, let me just speak for myself. I've been scammed for a lot of money. And it's always been, you know, after the original blow or bat to the head or kick to the gut, it always goes back to the practice of, okay, something good is happening or will happen because of this. Period. The practice is find the good. And if I can't find the good because my ego does not want to look, my ego wants to focus on what's wrong always. And if I can't find what's good, I trust that whatever I'm experiencing, even if it's a scam, there's something good that's going to come from it. Because the other person is going to burn in hell. No. That was a really bad joke. Well, it was a funny joke. It's not about the other person. It's never about the other person. And if you are not able to let go and trust, then just know that wherever you find yourself is where you are supposed to be, and accept that too. Hands up, palms up, ask the universe, how do I accept? How do I trust? How do I let go of this thinking that I am being victimized? How do I move to another place? How do I shift my energy? How do I shift the energy? This dimension where we are is a place of experience, is a place to experience all of it. Do I like 98% of the experiences? Let me swim a little bit lower. Do I like some of the experience? My ego doesn't, but know the difference. And when I say witness versus identify, when I identify with a perspective, when I identify that something's been done wrong to me, do you think God can be hurt? Do you think God can be victimized? So I practice moving into that state of who I really am and letting go of that human state, that human. I'm wiping my hands of this humanness. The humanness is I can't sink any, I can't hold on to anything. It's all ever-changing. The external is ever-changing. But what is not changing is a foundation rooted in the universe, rooted in God, rooted in Source, whatever you want to call it. And so the practice becomes, one of the practices is to remain, to practice witnessing as opposed to identifying. The identifying with a problem, the identifying with a challenge energetically feels way different than witnessing. What did you ask me? Oh, what are some of the practices that are going to add to your contentment? I gave you a list of some of the program behaviors that subtract. What are some of the non-program behaviors that add to inner peace, contentment, and happiness? I'm glad you asked. Wanting, needing, and or desiring to experience more contentment on this journey. That's it. I don't wanting any more money, wanting any more traveling, wanting any more anything. No, just give me a big bucket. Give me a big package full. Keep the packages. Keep the ongoing energy of contentment. That's it. That is all I want. Everything else is just icing. Contentment, inner peace, a.k.a. happiness. That's it. One of my favorite quotes is, other than my own, is by Abraham Hicks, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. You cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Prioritizing contentment and inner peace and happiness over any need or desire. That's number one. What do I want? Give me more contentment. That's it. That's it. Practice living consciously. Practice being aware of what I'm saying and practice knowing whether or not I have an agenda or an intention that isn't universal. Oh, and the ego can disguise. The ego is a master of disguise. Oh, I'm doing this for the world, to inspire the world, to motivate the world to be happier. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm just sharing my journey. Everybody else was different as our fingerprint. You people are on your own journey. I'm just sharing that. It's a simple-minded direction. And if you're inspired, and if anyone is inspired or relates, yay. And if you're not, that's okay too. But I'm not, and I talk about this book that's going to be published. Let me be very clear. It's called Program for Unhappiness, Exposing the Untold Truth. And, of course, I was told that the subtitle, it's muscle testing low. It's not going to give you what you want. Well, I don't want anything. I don't want anything or desire anything. And the truth is, the book, I believe, has a lot of really good information, truth that nobody is even talking about. But if nobody reads it or nobody buys it, cool. And that's the truth. I was inspired to share. I've been inspired to share this book for a long time. But it's not about selling a book. But it is about writing down what I've learned, what the universe has taught me over 45 years. But I'm not here, got to sell the book, even though I think it's pretty shit. But no, it's not a desire or a purpose. If it gets sold, guess what? Or somebody, or some people buy it, fine. If they don't, that's okay too. And you can feel me. I mean that. The other practices is practice acceptance. Acceptance of self, acceptance of others, acceptance of where you are on this journey. Surrendering in every moment. Surrendering without resistance. That means there is no such thing as an unwanted moment. What? You heard me. There is no such thing as an unwanted moment. But in order to get to that place, I've got to starve and humble my ego. And that's why I don't identify with it. I'm not identifying with my ego. I'm not my thoughts. I'm not my stories. There is a detachment. There's a detachment that happens. You know, I was talking to someone. Love, God's love, universe's love is peaceful. There's no drama to it. It's peaceful. It's calm. It's easy. There's a big difference. The other practice is being okay with uncertainty. That's a big one because my ego, wants to know. Can you imagine just being okay with uncertainty, waking up, what are you going to do today? I don't know. I mean, I do write some things down. I do have a list of things to do, but for the most part, I'm uncertain with everything, and I'm okay with that. And the only reason why I'm okay with being okay with uncertainty is the practice, the blind practice of trust. Blind practice. Letting go, releasing these people. I have a question I asked my class last week. They didn't like this question. Seatbelts. Is there such a thing as a difficult person? This is the question. I forgot the question already. The question was, how many of you have difficult people in your life? And of course, 90% of the people raise their hand. Yeah, I got difficult people. How many of you have difficult people in your life? You know, those bullies, those narcissists, you know, those negative people, those complainers, you know, those people. Sorry for laughing. Raising their hand. Yeah, those difficult people. Well, I'm here to tell you there's no such thing as a difficult person. What? You see why I don't have any friends? Is an elephant bothered by a gnat on his back? Is an elephant bothered by a gnat on his back? The answer is hell no. No, it's not. And so if there is a difficult person, it's my responsibility to grow the size of an elephant, so I'm not going to be bothered by a gnat. Do I have this gnat, where I used to call as a difficult person? Do I have this master? Of course not. But I know that if anybody is annoying me or pushes my buttons or angers my ego, number one, I know the difference. It's my ego that's annoyed. It's my ego that's bothered. I know the difference that I need to grow more. I'm going to practice growing to the point where they're difficult person. That's a joke. But isn't it interesting how the world says the difficult people? The big thing, you poor narcissists out there. I have empathy. The narcissists get a bad rap, but the narcissist can't do a dance without the other side. The other side is a victim. Which energy is higher? They're both low-level consciousness. They're both low-level energies, narcissist or victim. They're both the same. But the world points the finger, oh, no, it's the narcissist. I got off on the track right there. I got off the railing on that one. Narcissists are people, too. Okay, choosing your perspective. Okay, this is a big one. Staying out of everybody else's business. If you're out there making a judgment, looking at the world, thinking that the world needs to change, thinking that the world needs to be different, guess what? You change. You elevate your consciousness. You elevate. You grow. You evolve to a place where everything is in divine order. There's nothing that needs to change. Nothing that needs to be different. Or not. Practice patience. Practice being patient with yourself. Practice being patient with the process. And trust that and know that nothing gets left. Nothing gets left undone. Know the truth about your identity. I've said it a million times. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to keep drilling it into your head. You're not your thoughts. You're not your stories. But the ego needs a host. The ego needs a voice. The ego needs you to identify with it in order for it to survive. This thing about time is an illusion. Therefore, this thing, wasting time is impossible. It's really about elevating to another dimension, to another place. Any questions, any comments, any pushback? And again, one of the things that I will tell you is you can disagree with anything that I have to say or any of my perspectives or any of my ideas. And I will just sit back and say, you're right. Disagree. I'm good. I'm okay with no one even agreeing. But what I will tell you is 45 years of looking for, searching this thing called happiness, and happiness has nothing to do with anything external. This is an inside job. And you know, can you imagine if we were all taught to find another perspective? At any given moment in your life when you're challenged, all you need to do is switch, change, focus on another perspective, and you can shift your energy. But nobody teaches that. And a clue, hint, is that the ego can only manage to come up with one perspective. That's why you know it's the ego. That's how you know the real identity. And I will be damned if I'm giving my ego the authorization to masquerade as me. Well, that's all of today's show. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality, which is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And now, we're on now Daylight Savings Time. Visit my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. LinkedIn, my Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. My YouTube channel, I forgot to tell you, my son and I are doing a live show every Saturday morning at 9:15 Pacific Standard Time, and it's called Mother and Son Making Sense Out of Nonsense Plus More. Mother and Son Making Sense Out of Nonsense Plus More. We just finished taping our 14th episode yesterday, and it's spiritual, everyday topics, reality, spirituality. That's what I do, real life topics, And it's just a different, it's a different vibe because I have him, and he rags on me all the time. This kid will give me a zinger in a minute. I love it. My first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. And the book that I'm writing now called Programmed for Unhappiness, Exposing the Untold Truth, is going to be out in less than 2 months. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're more than your name. You're more than your title. You're more than your bank account. You're more than your stories. You're more than your thoughts. You're conscious energy in human form. You're always changing, always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, happiness specialist, global happiness specialist, inner peace practitioner. And remember, happiness is a practice skill. I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace you're going to find. And your experience along this journey just reflects on what you practice. Have a conscious week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man.
You got a question for RL?